Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
For this new day, thank you that today is another gift from you to be used for your glory. So we thank you, Lord, that you are a God who brings revelation to the hearts of your beloved children. We pray for that revelation to come from your Holy Spirit this morning into our hearts and then into our lives, that we will live in the good of the truth that you proclaim to us. That, Father, your purposes may be outworked in our lives for the glory and honor of your holy name. Amen. Okay, let's grab a seat. We're going to get straight into the Word and then have time to meet with God afterwards. Now, if we were quickly to review what God has been doing among us in the last few weeks, he's given us real revelation of his mercy and of his grace. And we've seen that both his mercy and grace are expressions of his love, that he calls us to be a people of faith, that we're dependent upon him to author that faith within us. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And we were talking last week about this mustard seed faith that God inspires within us. We only need a little speck of that faith that comes from hearing him, and nothing is impossible. All things become possible. And we know that all his purposes can only be fulfilled through the life and power of the Holy Spirit, through the anointing about which he's been speaking to us in the last few days, and that anointing really means that we will live by faith, working through love. But now, what is all this about? What really is God's purpose? What is his purpose for you personally? We're always concerned about that personal aspect. But what is his purpose for Kingdom Faith Church? What is his purpose for the church? What is his purpose for this nation? What is the purpose that he's working out throughout the nations? Because it's only when we understand that we can really understand what God wants to do in our lives, because what he wants to do in our lives is part of what he wants to do in Kingdom Faith Church, which is part of what he wants to do in the church, which is part of what he wants to do in this nation, which is part of what he wants to do among the nations. We have to put everything that he is doing into our lives into that big context, because God has big plans, big purposes of what he wants to work out in the whole of creation. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to see that these purposes can only be outworked by faith through love. But let's see what the purposes are. We'll begin in verse 5. In love, he predestined us. I think you believe that by now. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. Let's pause there. He has made known to us the mystery of his will. Mystery is something that isn't obvious to everybody, but it is to us, those whom he has loved and predestined in love to be adopted as his sons, as his children. So he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment. So what is this purpose? To bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Now, what Paul is saying is that purpose will only be fully realized when Jesus comes again, when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And all that does not honor him will actually be swept away, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. So we, as God's people, as those whom he has called and chosen to be his children, are called to be a prophetic people in the sense that we are called to demonstrate on earth now what God will fully realize when Jesus comes again. So it is to be seen in us as the people of God that everything is brought under the headship of Christ. Now, if you turn to Colossians chapter 1, you see that Paul is saying the same thing, making it very clear what this is going to require of us. We'll read from verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head, again this emphasis on the headship. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. In our lives, in kingdom faith, in the church, in the nation, in the nations. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So actually we see that what the cross was effecting was not simply something to give us forgiveness of sins and make it possible for us to receive personal salvation. But God was actually outworking there what would eventually make it possible for all things to come under the headship of Christ. In other words, God's plan of salvation is much, much bigger, much greater than most Christians realize. That God is not just concerned about what goes on in personal individual lives, but he is working according to this grand plan. And what he makes us and all those who are true believers, he makes us part of that plan. And every single one of us is actually significant in that plan. Otherwise, he would not have called and chosen us. So everybody has a part to play in this great purpose that God has of bringing everything in the whole of creation under the headship of Christ, so that he is revealed to be Lord over all. And when we see how great, how big, how magnificent God's plan is, we can have the attitude, well, how can little me, or even us as a group of believers, what possible difference can we make to this great grand plan that God has? Now, the first year students last week, we were looking at the life of Gideon. And one of the things we saw when God was calling Gideon to lead the Israelites into battle to overcome the Midianites was that he took him through a whole process. The Midianites, you remember, were terrorizing the whole nation. For 7 years, the nation had lived in complete fear of the Midianites. And Gideon began with an army of 32,000. And the first thing that God said to him, which was still considerably less than the Midianites and all the other termites that were joining with them to oppose the Israelites. So they only had 32,000 men. And God said to him, "You got too many. Send home all those who are afraid." Why? Because God's purposes can never be fulfilled through a people of fear. The perfect love of God casts out all fear. Fear is the enemy of faith. It's the opposite of faith. And 366 times in Scripture, God says, "Fear not." So fear is a natural instinct of the soul, but it has no place in the spirit of the believer. So 22,000 of the 32,000 left. So there were far more that were afraid than were not afraid. So Gideon was still left with only 10,000. And God said to him, "You've still got too many." And he ended up with 300. 300 out of 32,000. But with the 300, fulfilling the strategy that God gave to Gideon, the Midianites and the other enemies that were opposing him, they were all devastated. They were overcome. They fled. And I said to you that this points to a principle that God has outworked all the way through Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, and throughout the history of the church, that very little is accomplished through the many, but much is accomplished through the few. And I said to you, what matters is that you are numbered among the few. You don't have to be many when God is on your side. You know, people say that you and God are a majority, because nobody can stand up against the might and the power of God himself. So this helps us to understand that God only needs a few to effect his grand purposes. You remember that one of the parables that Jesus taught about the kingdom was the parable of the yeast that is put into the lump of dough. And it works through the whole lump. My wife, when we lived in community, used to bake fresh bread every morning. She used to be up at the crack of dawn and baking the bread before we all prayed. So everybody got up to this beautiful smell of fresh baked bread. It was glorious. And my elder daughter, she loved to make bread. She loved to pummel the dough. You know, she took all her aggression out on the dough, because apparently the more you do that, the better the result. And so you would have this, because there were a lot of us to feed, you would have this big lump of dough and a tiny little bit of yeast was mixed in with the dough. Then it was put in the airing cupboard to prove overnight. And of course, the yeast worked through the whole dough during the night, and then it was put into the oven and baked. But you see, you only need a little bit of yeast to affect the whole dough, whole lump. And Jesus said, the kingdom is like that. The kingdom is like that. You just need a few that really are prepared to be obedient to God, to fulfill His plan and purpose. And that's going to affect the whole lump. And actually will bring about the fulfillment of all God's purposes. Now, this is another way of saying what God needs is a people who are preparing for the day of His coming. That they are a prophetic people in that sense. They are living the life of the kingdom. They are the yeast. So God wants to regard us as such a people. We don't need to be a big, mighty army. We just need to be moving in the purposes of God. And how He can use us is up to Him. All we have to do is to fulfill what God is asking of us as a people. So I believe these coming months are going to be of strategic importance, not just for us, but in the purposes of God. Because I'm sure that it's not just we who are the yeast, but God will be working in other groups all over the place, furthering His kingdom purposes to bring everything under the headship of Christ. Because what does the kingdom mean? It means that the King, Jesus, is ruling and reigning over His people, in His people, and through His people. So we are part of this great plan that can only be fulfilled through the anointing of the Holy Spirit and through this obedience of faith. People who hear God and act upon His word. Now, there's something we need to understand about God. You see, when you look at the churches as a religious institution, and when you consider that within the whole church, there are churches that genuinely live and move by faith, it's almost as if these two believe in different gods. They don't, of course. They believe in the same God. But some of them know this God in a different way, in a deeper way, in a fuller way. And you can say that the vital difference is this, that the vast majority in the churches certainly believe in God, believe in Jesus, believe in what He has done on the cross, believe in some sense that God loves and cares for His people. But when they pray, if they pray at all, but when they pray, they don't pray with any great expectation of God doing anything. They don't actually expect change, transformation, healing, miracles. Whereas the people of faith who know the Lord personally, they believe in God as the God of intervention. And that is the difference between these two groups. That the vast majority of church-going people, when they pray, hope, wish, would like certain things to happen. But they don't really have the faith that God will intervene. Now, if we don't believe that in response to our prayer, God is going to intervene, then we're not praying with faith. Because you see, our God is a God of intervention. And this is what you see time and time again, all the way through the Old Testament. God's people actually, for the large part, were disobeying the law that God had given them. And so God would give them over to their enemies after warning them of what would happen if they continued in their disobedience. And then God would, at some point, when things got so bad, he would intervene. You see, what he did when he called Gideon, this mighty man, this mighty warrior who was hiding in a wine press, God began a process of intervention. Started with just one man. Then he used 300 people to actually deliver the whole nation and to overcome their enemies. The initiative was taken by God. When people pray for revival, what they're actually desiring is that God will come and intervene, that somehow there will be a move of the Spirit, that God will move upon his people in a new way, in a fresh way, and a new move of God, a new move of the Spirit will be initiated. And it's recognized that there's nothing that we can do to initiate such a move. It has to come from God. Now, there's all kinds of things that we can do in preparation for that, in being ready for that and really desiring that. But actually, every move of God is, in some sense, initiated by God who chooses to intervene. Now, we understand that this is the nature and the character of God. This is the way in which he has chosen to work. That's why when we pray with faith, we expect intervention. So when you pray for somebody to be healed, you're expecting intervention. You're expecting God to intervene in the circumstances, to come and do something. Even when you need provision, we recognize God, we need intervention from God. Somehow, he needs to intervene into the situation. He may only use a few people to bring healing to many, or one or two people to bring provision to a whole group of people. Because God does a lot through the few, but little through the many. And you see this all the way even through Jesus' ministry. You would have the thousands that came and heard him preach, drawn by the miracles, by the fact that he gave them a free meal every now and again. But they weren't really, they didn't have hearts and lives that were given over to him to serve him. But in the final analysis, even after 3.5 years of ministry of the Son of God, everything begins with 120 who receive the Holy Spirit. And everything that has happened since in the spread of the church worldwide began with just 120. But what happened? On the day of Pentecost, God intervened. The power of God, the Spirit of God, came upon the 120. So, you see, we need never look upon ourselves and say, well, we're just a small, insignificant group of people. How can we have a big impact? We can have an impact beyond anything that we can imagine because we believe in a God of intervention. And we believe that God can cause us to be yeast that can actually affect the whole lump of dough. Positive yeast. There's negative yeast and positive yeast. But we are to be the positive yeast that can affect the whole lump. When we had the move of God in Luton in the 1970s, we were just a small group, a few hundred people. We had absolutely no intention or thinking that we were going to affect the whole nation or people around the world. In effect, what happened is through what God did in that in that church, thousands, hundreds of thousands, perhaps one way or another, as a knock-on effect, millions of people, their lives were affected. That's nothing that we did, because the only thing we were concerned to do was to be faithful to what God was asking of us. Because we knew that the move of God would only continue as we were prepared to be obedient to what he was wanting us to do. We didn't have any vision of, oh, this is going to change the world, or this is going to change the nation, or this is going to change the church. But God used what was happening far beyond anything that we could ever imagine. That first book, When the Spirit Comes, that was only written because, you know, I was very, very busy, and you don't know what busy is until revival happens. So I thought, you know, I don't know how on earth I'm going to get this done. And the only thing that caused me to persist in doing this in the midst of everything else that was happening, the prophetic words that God was giving me, and one in particular, he said, this book is going to be like a bird that I'm going to put on the highest mountain where you would think a bird could not even exist. But you see, what he was saying is, I'm going to take this and I'm going to put it in that place. And I don't know how many thousands of people came to the Lord and got blessed and healed through the book. But the point is, that had nothing to do with me. That's what God did. See? None of this has anything to do with me. It's all what God does. But what I'm trying to get across to you is that God can do much through the few. He can do great things through the little people. Even the little people who are prepared to be consistent in fulfilling his plan and purpose. We don't even have to think or imagine, how is this going to affect? Who is this going to affect? How many people are going to be blessed? Because all that is in God's hands. Because he is always moving according to this great plan. But you see, what I want you to understand is, we didn't understand it at the time. We never talked like this during that time in Luton. But what I came to understand afterwards is that this was all part of this great plan that God was doing. All we were concerned about was trying to be faithful and true to what the Lord was asking of us as a small bunch of people in a place like Luton. And I mean, if you knew Luton then, you would know it was a miracle. But it was the most depressed place spiritually. It had a reputation for that. But God intervened. See, God intervened. And therefore, he was doing something that was going to have a much more widespread effect than anything we could ever have imagined at the time. And that's what I want you to understand. You can think that you're just, you know, one of God's little people. You're just here as a student or part of the team, part of the church. And you know, it's good church, good teaching, good worship, good this, good that. And God is doing some good stuff. And you can think, well, that's the end of it. But no, it's not. You see, what God is doing is saying, you are important because I am raising up a people here to be yeast in the lump. I'm raising up a people here whose impact and influence is going to be far greater than anything that you could ever imagine. And you see, what he is doing is intervening in our lives. This is why we have a keynote every week, so that we can keep in step with the way in which God is wanting to lead us, so that we understand the plan and the purpose that he has for us. It's so easy for us to get so caught up in the details of what is happening in our lives week by week that we lose sight of the big picture. We lose sight that we are part of this grand plan that God is working out to bring everything under the headship of Christ. So what it means for us each week is that we are concerned, Lord, I'm concerned to see that everything in my life is under the headship of Christ. I'm concerned to see that you have the supremacy in all things, as Paul puts it to the Colossians. You are my head. I am part of your body. and I want you to be supreme in my life, in all things. I know, Lord, that if I am submitted to you as my head, if you have the supremacy in my life in the way in which you desire, then I really will be part of that leaven. You will be able to use my life in ways that I might never know, might never understand how many people's lives were influenced through what you did in my life. You see, sorry just to refer to Luton again, but people knew me. They came to know me because I wrote the books and I was the pastor of the church and everything. But you see, it wasn't what God was doing through me. It's what God was doing through the body. It's what he was doing through the whole church. It was all these people who gave themselves to the Lord every week in prayer, who were praying for the sick, who were ministering to all these people that were coming all over the place. It was a people who God was raising up in love for one another so that everybody who came around was enveloped by that love. And as stuff went out, as people went out from that place, so many other places were affected, not by me personally, but because of what God was doing in the body. And he is the head of the body. He's not just head of individual Christians or individual leaders. He's head of the body, and what he wants to do is to work out his purpose in the body. And if you're part of the body, therefore you're significant. Because no part of your body is insignificant. Every part has its function. And God wants you to fulfill your part, your function, within the whole body. Now, all that he has been doing in your life during these last few weeks is all part of this purpose. And of course, that purpose is going to continue, it's going to grow, and it's going to develop next term and in the coming months. So what he's going to do next is to bring about a tremendous fresh revelation of his love. Now, in one sense, he's been doing that, showing us that his love is expressed in mercy, his love is expressed in his grace, his love is expressed in the way in which we love one another. And I was talking to you students at the forum meeting on Friday and saying just how great it is to see the kind of love and encouragement and support that there is among you as a body of students. And we know that that love is already there within the team. You saw that on the very first evening of term when they came and gave testimony, said how much we really are a family together, a family of love. So this love is there, but God is going... I mean, this is what he is telling me, so I tend to believe what he says, that he is going to bring about a fresh revelation. There's going to be an intervention of his love. There's going to be a new release of his love among his people. Not just here at Rafi, it will affect the whole church. It will affect all Kingdom Faith churches and so on, because these things always spread. But there's going to be this fresh revelation of his love. Now, that's important because, you see, Jesus says that obedience is the outworking of his love. Obedience to his plan and purpose. Obedience to his will for you as an individual. His will for Kingdom Faith. His will for all of his people is dependent upon obediently fulfilling that which he puts in front of us to do. And that obedience is the expression of love. Just as we saw, faith is also the expression of love. Now, we don't have to wait for next term because he wants to do something amongst us this morning. And what he wants us to understand is that in his love, he is ready to intervene. Always ready to intervene. The details don't matter, but in the last few days I've had a situation, a very practical thing, that has been really infuriating and annoying. And yesterday, I was on the phone needing to speak to someone, and you know, you were listening to the music that goes on and on and on and on. And I as I was saying, I just said, Lord, I just ask you now to intervene in this whole matter. Immediately, the phone was answered. Immediately, I had somebody with a totally different attitude to everybody else I'd spoken to about this. Immediately, the whole situation was resolved. And by the end of the morning, everything was settled. See, this is a God of intervention. All I just said was, Lord, please intervene. Because I knew this thing isn't going to get settled unless you do something. And that's the God that he is. But he wants us, you see, to have the faith that because of his love for us, he is always willing to intervene. And this is really what this mustard seed faith is all about. Jesus is saying you don't need a great massive load of faith. You just need a little speck of the right kind of faith. The faith that comes from God, as we saw last week. The faith that therefore expects intervention. Which is why Jesus said, you know, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you believe. If you believe what? God will intervene in the circumstances and change them. Because that's what answer to prayer is. So you could say that every answer to prayer is a miracle. Because you see, what is the definition of a miracle? It is God's supernatural intervention into the natural. Maybe in a tiny little matter, like when I was on the phone yesterday, it might be in a big situation when somebody gets healed of a medically incurable disease. It can be all kinds of issues. But God intervenes. A miracle happens because the supernatural life and power of God impacts the natural order of things. That can mean that the natural order is accelerated. Something that is taking place takes place much more quickly than would happen normally in the natural. Or it means that God can suspend even the natural order and do something entirely supernatural that could never be done in the natural. Cancers, tumors can disappear like that. On other occasions, they can shrink over a period of time. See, God is able to act in either way. Both are intervention. Both are a response to the faith of his people. Both really are the result of what God has initiated in giving that faith, in authoring that faith. So you see, the whole thing is God. It's God from the start, it's God in the middle, it's God at the end. God initiates the faith. God works in the hearts of those who hear his word and respond. God intervenes. God has his way. God fulfills his purpose. It's all God. This is why, you see, we can never know what the fallout is going to be of our obedience to God. That's why I mentioned Luton to you. We didn't have the foggiest idea of how significant it was what God was doing at that time. Because we didn't even think like that. We were just concerned to do what God was asking of us. But he knew what he was doing. You see? And it's the same with us. All we need to do is to respond to what God is saying to us day by day, week by week, month by month. And he can cause what he does here to be leaven that will affect a whole lump. We don't even have to be concerned about that. We don't even actually have to pray for that to be the case. We don't have to have such big ideas about ourselves to say, oh God, what you're going to do amongst us is going to change the nation. All we have to do is to be faithful. And we know that if we are faithful in fulfilling our part of this grand plan, God will work in the nation. And goodness me, our nation needs more than just a royal engagement at this time. Praise God. I pray for that couple, because there's transformation happening in some members of the royal family. But, some good things are happening, but they still need Jesus. So we need to pray for William and Kate and now for Harry and Meghan. Just add Jesus to the compassion that they have and the concern for people around the world and so on, in all the various things that they're doing. Add Jesus to that, and they will be even more effective. They will become part of the leaven. And with the kind of influence they have, that would be absolutely wonderful. So, anyway, that's up to God. He knows. He's got it all planned. Hallelujah. Praise God. We don't have to plan things for God. He has already planned them even before the creation of the world. And that's the amazing thing, you see, because he's planned everything. He knows how everything is going to fall out. We've got the last chapter of the Bible, the chapter 22 of Revelation. We know how it's all going to work out in the end. I can never understand the people that when they read a novel, they read the last chapter before they read the book. I've never understood that. I mean, that would ruin the book for me. I wouldn't bother with the rest of the book if I knew what the last chapter was. But with the Bible, it's essential. We know the end result. Hallelujah. So we know that everything that is happening now is working towards that end result. We never need to be discouraged. We never need to be downhearted. We never need to say, God, what do you think you're doing? Why are you allowing this, that, or the other? Because he said, it's all right. It'll all be okay in the end. Everything will be brought under the supremacy and the headship of Christ. Everything. So you are on the winning side. No matter what is happening, what challenges you face, it's all going to be okay in the end. And you're going to be part of that end product. Hallelujah. So it's good, isn't it? But a lifetime of service, that is the most wonderful privilege because, you see, it's serving God in his eternal purposes. And each one of us, we've only got a tiny, tiny, tiny little bit. I mean, what God does to all of us is just a tiny, tiny part of this whole purpose. But each tiny part is important. Yesterday, silly little thing, I got a nick. I don't know how it happened, but I got a nick on my finger there. And it was a bit annoying because every time I used that hand, it hurt. And, it's only just a tiny little thing. Put it under water and it was, ah! No. Tiny, tiny little part of the whole body can actually have effect upon the whole body. The whole body is conscious. And that's just one little part of one finger that's part of one hand that is part of... That helps us to understand. It doesn't matter how small and insignificant we think we are. We actually are. In God, a significant part of his purpose. And if that part is hurting, it not only influences, but it can influence other parts of the body. So God's purpose is always for our welfare, to heal us in his love, to make sure that we are functioning in the right way, not just for ourselves, but so that we can fulfill his purpose within the context in which we live as part of his body. So understand this, beloved, that this whole purpose can only be worked out through God's love. And God's love is just so immense. His love for you is so incredibly immense that he even knows how many hairs are on your head this morning. And if when you brushed or combed your hair, a few fell out, he still has kept a running tally of how many are left. For one or two people, he has an easier task than others. But for God, nothing is impossible. So it doesn't matter how much hair is. He knows. Now, I can't imagine anything less significant than knowing how many hairs are on your head. I mean, so what? But if God knows that and is concerned to know that, he must be concerned about everything that is more significant and more important. And if he keeps a running total of the hairs on your head every day, he knows exactly what is going on in your heart and your life every day. Why? Because he's called you, chosen you to be part of this immense purpose. So you matter to the fulfilling of what it is he intends to do. Not just in your life, not just in Kingdom Faith, not just in the church, not just in this nation or whatever nation you come from, not just in the world, but according to the scripture, in the whole of creation. To God, you are that significant. So, beloved, you see, this is why it's a waste of time for you to be worried about whether this one or that one is fulfilling the purpose of God, of looking around you and saying, that shouldn't be happening, or this shouldn't be, or that. You've got enough to contend with to make sure that you are fulfilling God's call upon your life. This is where each one of us has to be responsible directly to the Lord. So if you are responsible for your life, see, this is the way God operates. In his love, he's predestined you to be part of this great purpose. But he says, listen, what you allow in your mind is your responsibility. What you speak is your responsibility. All the decisions that you make are your responsibility. How you order your time is your responsibility. Whether you obey the word that I give to you is your responsibility. And you see, God's intervention does not stop us from thinking what we choose to think, or saying what we choose to say, or do what we choose to do. God will not stop us. You know, when some natural disaster or some terrorist incident happens, you hear people in interview, people that belong to the world, saying, why did God allow it? Why didn't God stop it? And I say to the television set, you know, speaking to these non-believers, you would not want God to stop you doing what you wanted to do if it wasn't his will. See, just imagine the way people live. Many of them sexually promiscuous lives, okay? You would not want God to stop you having sex with that woman or that man because it's not his will. See, because that's not how God operates. But you even wouldn't want him to operate. So why, when something evil happens, do you think God should have stopped it? Because you see, although he's working out his predestined purposes, you've heard me say he will never intervene without free will. So of course we live in a world where there's hatred, where there's bitterness, where there's division, where there's terrorism, where there's violence, where there's wars, because that's what men choose to do. In those situations, God can intervene in response to faith. But God doesn't intervene to stop things just because he wants a nice, orderly world. When he intervenes with the coming of Jesus again, that's when everything will be judged and be seen for what it truly is. But you see, people just have double standards in the way they think. Because, you know, if they believe in a God at all, they don't want to believe in a God who's going to stop them doing what they want to do, but they want him to stop things that they don't like. But actually, God doesn't like a whole lot of stuff that's going on in their lives. It's double standard, isn't it? But we, as God's people, called to be that leaven in the lump, we do not want things in our lives that do not please the Lord. We want to please him in all things. We want to be the holy people of love and of faith that he calls us to be. And yes, he needs to be merciful because so often we fail. But in his mercy and in his love, he continues that refining, that transforming purpose, transforming us into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. So what you understand as the people of God is that he's got you. He really has you in the grip of his love. And he says, no one is going to snatch you out of my hand. I've got you in my hands of love. And I am going to work out my purpose in you. I am going to ensure that that purpose is going to be fulfilled. What he desires is your cooperation in love, that responds to his love, and in faith that responds to his word. So his purpose is to sanctify you through and through, spirit, soul, and body. God is faithful, and he will do it. So, beloved, we're sort of ending this term by understanding the big picture of which we're just a part, small part. But every part of the picture is significant. As you know, I'm a bit of an artist in my spare time, not that I do very much at times. Present. When you're painting a picture, every part is important. Because every part is going to influence the effect that you want to produce from the whole picture. So if you're painting a portrait, for example, and just one thing is not right, it won't look right. If the eyes aren't balanced, for example, it won't look right. And you can sometimes look at a picture and say, oh, there's something wrong. And it can take you a few minutes to work out exactly what is wrong. And it might only be a little thing that's out of alignment. But because it's not in line, the thing doesn't look right. And this is a good picture of what God works out in our lives. Corporately. He wants everything to be in line. Everything to be in sync. Everything to be working together. The whole body working together in love. Are we all breathing? So we can be greatly encouraged because, you see, there's that wonderful scripture where God says in Isaiah, what I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. And I speak that over my life every day. What I have said, that I will bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. And that's the thing that keeps me going, because I know I'm part of that plan. Hallelujah. And He will work it out. And I will not go to glory until I have fulfilled my part of the plan. So you're stuck with me until then. Let's all stand. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, give Him glory. We're part of this wonderful, wonderful purpose. I've got all kinds of other stuff I wanted to share with you, but we'll have to leave that to another time. All about His love and faithfulness. But you've had a big enough meal for one sitting. So hallelujah. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Now, thank Him that you're part of His big plan. His plan for your life is just part of a much greater plan for the whole of creation. The scripture even says the whole of creation is in travail, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. God can't work out His purpose in creation without working out His purpose in you, because you're one of those, hallelujah, in whom He lives, through whom He works. You're part of that purpose. The whole of creation is waiting for us to be revealed as the sons of God. Come on. We as the sons of God are going to affect the whole of creation. It's the word of God. God does little through the many, but He does much through the few. Come on, thank Him that you're numbered among the few. You're not going to be numbered among the many who just go to church and worship the Lord and want Him to bless them and meet their needs. No, you are numbered among the few who are going to live as disciples. You're going to fulfill the purpose of God. You're going to be used mightily by Him. You're going to bear much fruit for His glory. You are going to be of strategic significance. He's going to do much through you. He does much through the few. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Your life is going to count. Your life is going to count in God's eternal purposes. Hallelujah.
puparazanda, you might never understand how fully that is going to be outworked, but your life is going to count for something in God's eternal purposes. That's why you're here. That's why Kingdom Faith exists. Kingdom Faith does not exist just to be another church. God never called Kingdom Faith to exist just to be another church. He didn't want just another church. He wanted a strategic people. He wanted a people that were going to be leaven in the lump. He wanted a prophetic people that were going to make a difference. Hallelujah. Because of what God was going to do as He intervenes in their lives. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's not a matter of how big Kingdom Faith Church is, but how different Kingdom Faith Church is. That's what matters. Different in the sense of really fulfilling the plan and the purpose of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, come on, let's give Him glory. Let's give Him glory. It's so wonderful to be part of His purposes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now we're going to pray to the God of intervention. I want you to start with your own life. You may have been praying about situations concerning you personally. And you know, the Lord was talking to me early this morning about the fact that many Christians put their faith in their prayer instead of their faith in the one to whom they're praying. It's only when you put your faith in the one to whom you pray that the God of intervention intervenes. So you don't look at your prayer and wonder if you're praying with the right words or with the right faith or all that stuff. You fix your focus on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. And I just believe that there are many people here this morning. You need to pray, God, please intervene. It's time this situation was resolved. And I ask you now to intervene. I believe and trust you to intervene and to change the whole situation. To do what needs to be done, to transform. Please, by the power of your Spirit, intervene, Lord. And I give you all the glory that out of your great love for me, you want to intervene whenever that's needed. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. God of intervention. Jesus says, whenever you pray, believe that you've received it. Thank him for that intervention. You can't dictate to God how to intervene. All you have to do is to believe, to expect him to intervene. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Poparasantara basoturi santuma. Baparasantaria leto bakalasituri santuma. When Jesus intervenes, everything changes. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God of intervention. Hallelujah. Thank you that every time I pray to you, I pray to the God of intervention. Hallelujah. 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 And Lord, we see in Scripture how when you intervened, nations were changed. And we are trusting you to intervene in our nation. To intervene in your church, for you to initiate a move of spirit that will bring about an intervention in this nation, that the way in which things are going downhill spiritually now will be completely reversed, and things will begin to get better and better and better because of your intervention. So, Lord, we believe that you're raising up a people of faith, a people of love, a people of consecration that will be leaven in the lump. Thank you, Lord, you don't need many because you do much through the few. But, Lord, we here want to be numbered among the few. We want to be leaven, Lord, in the lump. Oh, Rasandara Basoturisam. You say this is what happens with your kingdom purposes. And we praise you, Jesus, that the kingdom is like this. The kingdom is like this. Praise you, Jesus. So, Lord, we want you to have the headship over everything in our lives. We want you to have the headship over everything in kingdom faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want to be submitted to you as the head. So can you pray now? Lord, I want you to have the supremacy in everything in my life. For you to have the supremacy, you to have the headship. For me to be submitted to the head. Because the head, you know, the brain is in the head, isn't it? And the head actually controls the movements of the whole body. So I want you to be the head. Poparazandari aleto pagarazanduma. Of every area of my life. Postagalari aleto pagarazandari aleto pagarazanduma. Bastagalari aleto pagarazitri sanduma. Postagalari aleto pagarazitri sanduma. Poparazandaria leroba kalasitri sanduma. Poparazandaria leroba. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing. Come on, thank him that you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always points you to Jesus. The Holy Spirit points you to the headship of Jesus. Poparazandaria leroba kalasinama. Come on now, come on now. Hallelujah. You are not an ordinary believer. You are a strategic believer. Come on. You are strategic in the purposes of God. Hallelujah. God watches over you. God protects you. He guards you. He keeps you because you're strategic in His purposes. What He has said over your life, that He will bring about. What He has planned, that He will do. Come on, praise Him. Praise Him. You are not going to miss the purposes of God. You are going to fulfill the purposes of God for your life. Hallelujah. Puparazandaria leto bakalasato bakalasandama. Bastagalaria leto bakalasitri sandama. Oh, hallelujah. He's going to use your life for His glory. Come on, He's going to use your life for His glory. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. He's going to use your life for His glory. He's going to do much through the few. He's going to do great things through the little ones, through the humble ones. Hallelujah. 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 Papara sandaria lero bakalasata bakalasita disandama. Papara sandaria lero ba. You're a strategic person. You belong to a strategic church, and you're part of God's strategic purpose. Hallelujah. What a God. And you don't have to look at yourself and say, why me? Because God can choose who He likes. He can determine what He will do without any reference to you or to anyone else. Because He's working according to His plan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Poparazandaria leto pakarasita di sandama. O paparazandaria leto pakarasita di sandama. Paparazandaria leto pakarasita. So all you have to remember is God always works according to His plan. Hallelujah. And He's always willing to intervene so that His plan can be put into effect. When things are not going according to plan, He's willing to intervene to bring things into His plan in the lives of His children. So praise You, Lord. Oh, what a God, what a God, what a God. What a God, what a God, what a God. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Come on, let's have a shout of joy for the Lord. Yes. Praise You, praise You, praise You, Jesus. Paparazandaria lero bakala sita di sandana. O paparazandaria lero bakala sita palandana. O papapakala sandaria lero bakala sita. You see, there's something so special about you. Because you carry the anointing. You carry the presence of Jesus. Christ in you. It's very, very special. Very special. Thank You, Jesus. And as God was showing us yesterday morning, receive from Him. Keep receiving from Him. The more we receive from Him, the more He can intervene. So, Lord, we bless You, we praise and thank You. Lord, when You first called us, we had no idea of what You were getting us into. No idea that we were just part of this great plan that You are working out. that will be fulfilled when Jesus comes again. Thank you, Lord, that you have that plan and purpose for every single one of us in this room. And Lord, I can only speak for myself, but I want to be faithful and true to the purpose that you have for me. And I just pray that every single one of us will also want to be faithful and true in fulfilling that purpose. And even if, Lord, we don't always understand how what you're asking us to do can be part of this leaven that's going to affect the lump, we trust you that as we surrender to you and bring everything in our lives under the headship of Christ, that you will work out your purpose in us according to your will, just as you have planned. And it's so good, Lord, that we don't have to sit down and work out a plan of our own, but we can just see the fulfillment of everything you have planned for us. Praise your holy name. Come on, just turn to at least three people and say, it's wonderful to be part of God's plan.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.